listening to The Birthplace of Next, the podcast where city officials and community partners discuss the latest news and developments in Dayton that make it livable, sustainable, and innovative community. I'm Meg Maloney, Sustainability Manager for the City of Dayton, and today I am here with Tom Tappel. Tom, welcome. We are very excited to have you on the podcast today.
Good to be here.
Do you want to give us a little bit of overview of who you are? We have you in as a dual role today. So do you want to talk about what you do for work and then also a little bit of your background of how you got to Dayton, Ohio?
Sure. I am an energy engineer with Go Sustainable Energy. So we're an energy engineering contracting company focused mostly on contracts with cities or big organizations. We do energy efficiency, we do renewable energy, we do a lot of different things. In an ever-growing, complicated world, we are continuing to learn and find out a lot of how we can help our clients. And yeah, so I've been in that role for a little over a year now, but came to Dayton for undergrad. I went to the University of Dayton, degree in electrical engineering, and fell in love with the city, wanted to be here. So my wife and I found a place, now live in the Huffman neighborhood in East Dayton, and yeah, I've really enjoyed getting to know the city and starting to work around.
Great. And I always love when we get to work with people at the city, both in a professional environment, but also when they live in the city too. I think it brings kind of a new perspective or a good perspective when we work on projects. And I think it's also exciting that you know, you're not from here and you decided to stay and live here, because I've talked on the podcast before. That is something that I also did as well. And I think that Dayton has a lot to offer. I also think it's fun because Go Sustainable likes to hire a lot of people that have Dayton roots, because a lot of you have went to the University of Dayton and did the RCL program, which is the Renewable Clean Energy Program, which is also great. But you talked a little bit about how Go works a lot with cities. So can you talk a little bit more about your work with cities and why cities are interested in using Go Sustainable? So what kind of projects are you guys working on? Things like that.
Sure. So we work for a few different cities of various sizes around the state, doing different things from working with municipal utilities that are connected to cities, helping them with energy efficiency programs, helping them figure out if they want to get solar or batteries. Our role in different cities is continually expanding as we have successes, and then they're like, all right, how about this thing next? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, we'll figure it out. Let's get to work. So it's been a really cool, fruitful relationship that we've had. And as some cities find success, other ones are like, oh, we want to try that. Mm-hmm. And so we can kind of keep expanding the folks we work with and the topics we get to cover.
Great. And why are cities exploring like renewable energy?
Yeah. So a lot of cities, excitingly, have made commitments to climate action plans or sustainability goals, and renewable energy is a really good way to meet a lot of that. And so we'll take solar energy. It's a great way to reduce the emissions that are associated with the energy that a city would use for their municipal buildings, for any of their processes. So that's great at kind of the climate emissions, greenhouse gas level. Additionally, it helps reduce kind of the local pollutants that come from burning fossil fuels, which can make cleaner air for folks. So those are great things for the sustainability side. The other exciting thing is that as solar has become more cost competitive and things like that, it's also a way that cities can save on their utility costs. Mm-hmm. And so being able to reduce their bills month to month or year to year, and also kind of have a diversified portfolio of where they're getting their energy, that helps prevent kind of getting caught unaware of big energy prices. Mm-hmm. As those go up, it's a way to kind of own a little bit more of your own supply, which helps balance that over the long term. So
yeah,
economically good, sustainability good.
And that's what we like here. I always tell people that our sustainability office is trying to cut carbon emissions, and the way that we do that is through saving money. So for people listening, those were all the reasons that the City of Dayton decided to partner with Go Sustainable Energy. Go Sustainable Energy was contracted by the city in 2021 to do our solar feasibility study at our water reclamation facility and our water treatment facility. And what we had found through that study with Go, which was really amazing, is that not only it was going to reduce our emissions at those plants, but also it was going to save the city money. So there were scenarios where we could save up to, again, approximately estimations, we haven't put it in yet, but $250,000 potentially, depending on market conditions and things like that. So that was a big draw for the City of Dayton. But also, obviously, the environmental piece, too, of cutting down our carbon emissions was huge. I don't want to like nerd on out on this too much for our listeners, but I do think you brought up a really good point too about procurement. What a lot of people don't realize is they know that we supply water to the region, but that is costs a lot of money. And to help water ratepayers keep those prices down by us purchasing energy at cheaper prices or by thinking more strategically about how we procure energy, we can help save ratepayer dollars too. So this project is saving ratepayer money. And also it's doing a long-term purchase of energy through the solar that will help create resiliency and save dollars. So can you talk a little bit more about our Kitty Hawk solar project? So I know that you came on a year ago, but you've been helping me in the sustainability office with this solar project. So can you talk a little bit about what you guys have been helping us with?
Sure. So like you said, Go started working on this project. And our first step when we are working on solar or a lot of other projects is first to figure out the feasibility of it. Mm-hmm. So one of the cool things about Go that separates us in this space is that we don't make commission on whether or not you buy solar panels or whether or not you buy an air handler from us or things like that. So it allows us to provide accurate, unbiased information that we can just say, hey, this is a good idea, this is not a good idea, help you arrive at the point where you can make a sound decision informed by all the stuff that we dig up during our process. So for a solar feasibility study like the one we did at Kitty Hawk, the first thing is, all right, we got a whole bunch of land. Mm-hmm. How much, if nothing else was important, how much solar could we put on here? And that's kind of the first level of the feasibility mm-hmm. study is, okay, we have this many acres. We want to do this kind of solar. If it's on the ground, it's on a roof, we're going to get a big number. So then the next thing that we start to explore is the regulatory space. So there exist rules and regulations on how much solar or how much energy you can add to the grid based on kind of what kind of consumer you are, if you're a utility, that helps guide, make the rules for what can and can't be built in Ohio. And so from that perspective, we need to look at energy bills from the site. And so in Ohio, the current regulations is 120% of site usage is what we can get to. So, mm-hmm. all right, we have this big land, we can put a bunch of solar. All right, actually, based on the energy we're using on site, it's a little bit smaller than that. Mm-hmm. And so after that, the next thing, and like you said, important to the city, important for ratepayers, is we want to make this project economical. Mm-hmm. We don't just want to maximize the amount of solar if it's not actually going to be good for the city or for the ratepayers. And so the next thing we do is look at the economics and look at a bunch of different bill components, energy prices, looking into the future, all of those kind of things to arrive at the size of solar that we think is going to be most beneficial for the city economically. Mm-hmm. And so based on all of that, we can say, hey, solar is a good idea. Or if it is at Kitty Hawk, it's a good idea. We're excited to get it. But if that weren't the case, if it was like, actually, now's not a good time, we would just say, now's not a good time. We can revisit this if yeah. these things change. But luckily, things are good enough that the city has a pretty good project on their hands.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note, initially, we were looking at using at the Miami Water Treatment Facility, we had a golf course. That's why we keep calling it the Kitty Hawk Project, the Kitty Hawk golf course that closed. It is a well field, so we can't develop it or use it for anything else. And so that's why we thought it was a perfect site for solar. And then after Inflation Reduction was passed, there was a credit that you get for developing on brownfield sites. And adjacent to our well field is the old Shern Williams site. So I should say to viewers and to myself, I need to be better at this. We call it the Kitty Hawk Project still, but it's actually going in at the old Shern Williams site, which is right across from the well field and across the street from the Miami Water Treatment Plant. And so we're really excited about that because, yeah, as you said, we had 400 acres at first. And as I learned about solar through this process, I was like, we're going to put 400 acres of solar out there. But yeah, to really size the facility, you have to make it much smaller. And so what we found out through your feasibility study is we're only offsetting about 30% of our load. And something that I think is important to communicate about solar is oftentimes, as you just previously stated, it's not about how big you can make the solar. It's about sizing it right for cost effectiveness and for what your system is using. So can you talk a little bit in simplified terms of how we landed on that 30% number?
Sure. So during our economic analysis, we looked at how the city was billed for energy. Mm-hmm. And this comes in a few different components. Not only the amount you use over the course of a month, mm-hmm. but the maximum you use at a given time throughout the year. And yeah. so the utility will bill based on that because that's how much they need to have on hand. You can think of it like that. And so as we did our economic analysis, we saw that after a certain point, after addressing certain billing determinants, we were able to kind of maximize savings in that range. Mm-hmm. And so while solar is thought of as good and can be, more solar is not always better after a certain point. And so the economics change based on how different accounts are billed. And so we were able to dive into the city's accounts and understand exactly the right amount of solar.
Yeah. And I think that oftentimes people think, oh, I use this much energy and this much kilowatt hours equals to this much solar I should get. But that's not the case. It's really looking at kind of digging in further, looking at certain charges that it has for you to get that sweet spot number. And that is something that I will say the city of Dayton is trying to help businesses do. So if anybody's listening that's thinking about solar for their nonprofit, for their business, we do help kind of make sure that your solar is getting sized right. Because in the residential space, it really is you use as many kilowatt hours, this is how much solar you're getting. But once you get to bigger buildings, again, like bigger than a household size, then it gets a little bit more complicated. And so it's not always, you're not always just going to offset your entire energy use. And so we don't need to dig into all the bill components, but I do just think that's a good kind of flag for people so that they don't avoid accidentally getting into a bad deal. So is there any, so we have a couple other projects that are coming up with Go. And do you want to talk about some of the things that we'll be working on over the next year now that we kind of we're moving forward with Kitty Hawk, getting solar there. So we're in that process. But what are the next projects that Go is helping the city of Dayton with?
Sure. So we are working with the city on contract negotiations for the Kitty Hawk project, which is exciting as we've now are starting to gear up for another feasibility study, this time up at the Dayton International Airport. So as I was saying, and as we just talked about, different billing components at different sites, different accounts have different ways that their energy is billed to them. And so while the process is going to look similar for the airport one, we're going to find different things as we wrestle with different sizes, with different energy uses, different billing things. And so we'll go through that whole process again of land, regulatory, economics, to hopefully get to another point where we have another project that can move forward.
Yeah. And I think that one's going to be interesting too, because the airport is, I think, a little bit more complicated of a project. Like, we can do some cool stuff. Like, we have a lot of parking spaces. Can we explore parking canopy, but also we have enough space to potentially talk about battery storage, which could make our airport more resilient. If there's like a power outage or something that happens, like we could power the energy off those batteries. So there are some cool things that I think the airport project, we didn't really talk about for the Kitty Hawk project that I'm excited to go into. And while we don't have like a 400-acre golf course right next to the airport, we do have a lot of like little parcels of land that we can explore for solar. So we're excited about that. And hopefully we'll have more information on that solar feasibility study towards the end of this year into early next year. But the last thing I kind of want to talk about, Tom, that I'm excited about, again, that I talked about in the beginning of why I was excited to bring you in, is we have a lot of residents that also care a lot about sustainability. And you are also being a resident of the city of Dayton. Why is sustainability important for you? Or why do you think it's important as a resident for your city to be doing sustainability work?
Yeah, I think one of the things as I've been more involved in sustainability has been seeing all the quality of life improvements that commitments to sustainability can provide. And so in the energy space, which I'm a part of, a commitment to sustainable energy is a commitment to cleaner energy, cleaner air, more affordable energy, which is great. But as we kind of expand what we talk about with sustainability, we can talk about ecosystems. So healthier soils and healthier food. We can talk about clean water and kind of having access to that as a part of well-being. And so I think cities' commitments to sustainability or having these sustainability goals is a sign that they value these things in the same way that I do, and in the same way that kind of promotes well-being and is good for the city as a whole.
Yeah, and I think we get a lot of, we have a lot of hard things happening in the city, like we have residents living in poverty, we have residents that are dealing with everyday environmental injustices, and so I think that you hit on a point that I think is really good of like, we talk a lot about those like hard things that are happening in the city. And so people often ask, like, what are we doing about it? But like by building, you know, renewable energy to help with cleaner air, like we are providing a safer environment for people to raise their families and like cleaner air for them to breathe. So I do think that like Dayton is a good area because we've had all these injustices in the past with contamination and things like that, that we have a good runway moving forward in like some of the projects that we're thinking about and how to create a cleaner environment for our residents. Are there any sustainability projects that the city is doing that you think are important or that you're excited about?
I am excited. The city has an aggregation program that is already saving residents money on their energy bills, which I think is a great thing, as energy burdens or the cost or the percent of income spent on energy is pretty high for a lot of communities. And so being able to do that, there's organizations the city's working with, like Dayton Energy Collaborative, that is working on home weatherization and home repair, along with some other good agencies. I think various things going on. I know my wife and I compost with the food bank. We get community-supported agriculture or CSA shares from local farms. And so I think there's a lot of different efforts going on, both from the city and around the city and in partnership. And so for me, it's been a cool space to be in Dayton to see a lot of people caring about this with a lot of momentum and also a lot of opportunities for myself to get involved, for other people to get involved in areas they care about.
Yeah, and we definitely can't do it alone. I like that you highlighted the community partners, the food bank being one of them with the composting, because sometimes I think it's a personal thing I feel. Like I feel pressured to like the city needs to be doing all these sustainability initiatives. But what I think is really beautiful is like when our community also, we have a lot of community partners who have stepped up and are like trying to solve complicated sustainability problems in our community and are like, we're going to figure it out. So the food bank being one of them, James at the food bank, who does all the composting, is amazing. And he is a very innovative thinker who has been stepping up to the plate with complicated questions of like, how do we help the city of Dayton reduce the food that's going to landfills? So we're very grateful for our community partners. You mentioned aggregation. We love SOPEC, Sustainable Ohio Public Energy Council. Luke and Phil there are great. And Dana, who lives in Huffman as well, is a grant writer at SOPEC. She's been amazing too. So there's a lot of work that we do with our community partners that really help make our community better, safer, a better place to raise a family. And I think that that is huge. I was reflecting on that question as I was asking you, because I was like, it's cool to see just even over the past like couple of years, like how I'm like, you know, what projects as a resident do you think are like cool that we're working on? And like just each year we have more and more projects going added to the list, not just due to the city of Dayton, but due to, you know, partners in the region too, which I think is really great. So I guess, Tom, now that we're kind of, we're getting close to the end to wrap up, are there any other things that you want to say either as a resident or as an energy engineer at Go Sustainable about the city of Dayton sustainability or solar or anything like that?
I think I'm excited to be a part of it. I encourage other people to ask questions, find ways that they can be involved. It's very cool as both a resident and an energy engineer to be working on projects that I know I'm going to see in my own community that are going to have kind of direct impacts on me, my family, all these other things. And so it's cool, I think, when we see sustainability come beyond this big idea in the cloud into kind of actionable things that make a real difference, a tangible difference in lives of people around the community.
Yeah. And I do think that that is, that makes me happy that you feel that way. And I'm excited about all the initiatives that are taking place, excited that you're here, and grateful. I'm reflecting, I'm grateful for both the University of Dayton for bringing you here. And then shout out to, again, Go Sustainable Energy has this amazing, kind of pipeline of, we have really good engineers that are trained at UD, and then Go hires a lot of people that are passionate about Dayton and that are very educated and smart in the energy field. And I think that is also a really amazing like workforce development piece and getting people passionate about Dayton. So shout out to your employer too, Go Sustainable, for hiring some great people that are passionate about our community and choose to invest in here. So there you have it, folks. You have been listening to The Birthplace of Next. Tune in next time where we will have some more content on various sustainability initiatives that we have been working on. Thank you again, Tom, for being here today. Thank you, Go Sustainable Energy, for all the good work that you're doing on our solar feasibility assessments. And we hope to have you guys tune in soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Birthplace of Next. a publication of the City of Dayton's Office of Communications and Public Affairs. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you won't miss the latest news about what's happening in Dayton. If you have questions or feedback for us, please email cityhall@daytonohio.gov.